207 from Psalm 76 titled Zion's Glory and Safety. Let us sing all four stanzas of Psalter 207. Scripture reading for this afternoon's sermon is passages from Exodus chapter 35. I'll be preaching on Exodus 35 and from verse 1 to 7 of 36. This afternoon we'll begin our reading at verse 4 of chapter 35. Read to verse 9. Exodus 35, from verse 4 to verse 9. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram's skins dyed red, and badger's skins, and shittim wood, and oil for the light, and spices for anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, and onyx stones, and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. Then from verse 20 to 29, all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Every one that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. And every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod, for the breastplate, and spice and oil for the light, and for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman, whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. And then from chapter 36, the first seven verses. Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. They received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Thus far we read God's Holy Word. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how the Word of God before us stands this afternoon in sharp, clear contrast to the Word of God that we read and that we heard a few weeks ago of Israel's making of the golden calf and the worship of that graven image that they made. Here we must see is the blessing and the wonder of their salvation. They had been delivered, not merely from the bondage of Egypt, but they had been delivered from idolatry. They had been delivered from idolatry by the mighty hand of their God that stretched itself forth to rescue them from the land of Egypt, from their bitter slavery and their hard bondage. By that deliverance, so mighty, so terrible, and so wonderful, not only did the Lord show and prove that he was God alone over against all the gods of Egypt, but by that same mighty act, he made Israel to be his own people. He redeemed them for himself, that they might be a people devoted to him, consecrated to him, to live and walk before him, their God, forever and forever. And now, in the word of our text this afternoon, God gives to them the opportunity to show and to live as his redeemed people. They may not. They must not give of their gold to make of that gold a graven image, whether calf or any other molten god, to bow down before it and worship it. They may not give their gold, their silver, their wood, their scarlet, their purple, their fine twined linen to construct a palace or a temple for whatever gods they might imagine or conceive. The redemption is that they are enabled to use their material substance of the earth, their gold, their silver, their brass, their iron, their wood, their scarlet, their linen, their fine twined linen, badger skins, ram skins, oil, for the service of their God, for the tabernacle of their God, for the priestly garments, for the oil to light the lamps, for the incense to be offered on the altar of incense, that they might know by their gifts, that they might know through their gifts, God's dwelling among them, that they might be able to use those things in the covenant, that they might see in those things their consecration to be God's people and to know God's presence dwelling among them. And it is their privilege to bring these their gifts forward to God, freed to serve their God, freed from the bondage of false gods, and that we might know by their gifts our giving of not only what we have, but all that we are to our God in gratitude for what he has done for us, redeeming us from our sins. So then we consider this chapter, Exodus 35, and the beginning of Exodus 36, under the theme, Contributions for the Tabernacle. We see, first of all, the calling, secondly, the giving, and finally, the generosity. It ought to be remarkable and certainly worthy of note to us the circumstances of this chapter. This is the last instruction given for the construction of the tabernacle and for all the service of the tabernacle. We are meant to think of all the things that have gone on before, the measurement, recipes, patterns for the tabernacle, the court, the furniture from the Ark of the Covenant to the altar burnt offering, to the carefully laid out and instruction given concerning the priestly garments, as well as the beginning of sacrifices. Now it comes to the point where this entire pattern, as it has been given by God to Moses, must now be brought into actual, real, and true being. Through the following of this instruction and the execution of it, there is to be begun now the Old Testament economy. In this tabernacle, which plan has now been given to Moses, is to be God's dwelling place among his people. The work of the priests and the Levites in the administration about the business of the Ark of the Covenant, offering sacrifices on the altar of burnt offering, offering incense on the altar of incense behind or within the temple of the tabernacle, all of that is to be the way, the means, answering the question of how this God does dwell among his people. But now when it comes to the very point when all this instruction is to be brought into real and actual existence, the last final calling, the last final instruction is not to Moses, not to the priesthood, but to the people. From them, generally, broadly, from all the people, is to come the material, the basic materials for all the temple and everything concerning the priesthood and everything that is to happen by it. We have all the materials that are mentioned beginning with the gold and silver and brass in verse 5, all the way down to verse 9, onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. And every one of those substances, those material things, are mentioned according to its end and its goal. What is it for? What is its purpose? It is all for the tabernacle. Verse 11, everything about the tabernacle. Verse 12, the ark and the staves thereof and the mercy seat. The candlestick in verse 14, the light and the lamps, the oil for the light. Verse 15, for the incense altar. Verse 16, the altar burnt offering. 17 and 18, the court of the tabernacle. Verse 19, the clause of service for Aaron and for the priests to minister in the priest's office. Each material is appointed for its own particular end. And all of this is given to the congregation. The people of the children of Israel are given the privilege. They're given the opportunity to bring, to offer up out of themselves all of this material. The congregation is so gathered and assembled for this purpose. We have that at the beginning of the chapter. Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them. Giving the institution of the Sabbath again in verses 2 and 3, but it continues in verse 4, Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. So we have the result of this calling given to us in verse 20. All the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And according to the call then in verse 21, they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up. Now in this calling that the Lord gave, there is a particular emphasis placed on the freedom of this offering. Commanded by the Lord, yet a command that's given in this freedom. Verse 5, this is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. Particular, distinct, even striking emphasis on the will. And this stands in very sharp and clear contrast to what we read before in Exodus 30 about the service of the tabernacle. In verses 11 through 16 of chapter 30, we have what we might call a budget. It might begin at verse 12, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number. Then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This they shall give every one that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel, after the shekel of a sanctuary. Even the age is given in verse 14. Everyone that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. And that strictness and exactness is given in verse 5. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel. Then the end is given in verse 16 of that money. Thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shalt appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And that is its purpose, to make an atonement for their souls. There it is strictly laid out. Every member must pay this much money. In contrast, we have the word of this commandment given to us that addresses strictly the will, whosoever is of a willing heart. Now, what is the purpose? What is the design of this freedom? It is meant to be so laid out by the word of God's commandment appealing to the will as an act of devotion, as an act of desire. And the question is brought before them generally and broadly, do they will? Do they will? Do they want to? Do they desire to have God among them? Secondly, do they desire to have God among them as he has declared by his word? As he has given instruction, this is how I am pleased to dwell among you. This way, this manner, this tabernacle, this court, this Ark of the Covenant, this altar, these priests clothed in these garments, this is how I am pleased to dwell among my people. Are you pleased to have me dwell among you? And this is how you are able to show that. Bring forward, provide out of yourselves your goods according to your choosing, according to your understanding, according to your will, all that is necessary for this work and this labor. And we want to see that reflected in verse 21, according to the answer to this call. And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. There is stress laid there, as it is in following verses, on the Lord's offering. The Lord's offering. And that Lord's offering, coming by the will, choice, determination, and desire of the people, that indeed, truly, as they give the offering not only to the Lord, but acknowledging it from the Lord, this is their way of saying, yes, we desire, we want to have this God dwelling among us to be our God. In this way, with their wills and with their desire, they can follow through and are able to say, as we provide, we might see this most excellent use of our gifts. Oh, we might think of other blue, other purple, other scarlet, other fine twine linen we have. Might think of the gold and silver that yet remains to us that we have, out of which we brought this offering to the Lord. But there might be no better use for our gold, no better use for our silver, no better use for our wood or our oil than to see it used in the service of the Lord, to know by our gifts his dwelling among us. We must pay careful and close attention to the way and character of this calling. First of all, what this commandment really is. What is this commandment? Now, notice that this willingness, this freedom of giving, comes according to and comes by the Lord's command. With a very strict word given to us in verse 4, this is the thing which the Lord commanded. He commanded it. He ordered it. There's no softening of the force of a commandment here, even though that commandment is addressed to the willingness. There is still a sense of obligation. But even more, the Word of God must always instruct even our willingness. It is not the case that all this instruction should be given. This is what is to be made, down to the materials, the dimension, the craftsmanship, the order, and that God should simply stand back and say, well, now we'll see what happens. Where is all this going to come from? Gold, silver, the oil, the wood, perfumes, extracts. Where's it going to come from? Just wait. pillars of guidance. The command as the living word of God goes to the people and says to them, so that already there the word of God shapes, the word of God molds and governs over even the willingness of God's people. It is as if to say that God comes to you and me. And he says to you and me, give to the church. Give for the cause of my kingdom. But do not give because you have to. Give because you want to. Give because you are willing. Because that is true consecration. That is true holiness. The government comes to you and me in the collection of our taxes and says to you and me, pay your taxes or else go to jail. So under that threat, as we do not wish to go to jail, we pay our taxes. Even our church budget should not be of that kind. And woe be to us if the only reason for our obedience, the only reason for doing it is maybe perhaps to keep the elders away from our door, to keep from being under discipline. There are people who are most unfortunate in the church. Somehow, some way, they're in the church. But they're always on the edge. Always on the edge. They come to church just to keep the elders off their doorstep. And they might get into trouble every now and then, but when the elders come to them, well, they get back in the line just so that they aren't bothered by the elders. But off they go, right on the edge, really their whole lives. It's the way that they lead their lives. But they're miserable. They aren't happy in the Church of Jesus Christ at all. But the calling of God comes to us and says to you and me, give. Not as being taxed, but give out of your heart. Give out of your willingness. You might see very well how that comes to us. We might say, think of the material needs of a church building. We need a building to worship in. A building needs maintenance. A building that needs kind of work, and a budget may provide for that kind of maintenance and that kind of work. So we have in our budget a line for the building. These are expenses that are connected with the upkeep, the maintenance of our building. But now we cannot expect, if we should endeavor to build a new church building, and the amount of funds that is required of that, to say, okay, here is the money that the church is going to cost. We're going to divide it up exactly among the number of who we are as families and expect every single person to pay exactly the same amount toward that building. It couldn't work. And that would not be proper. It would be proper to say to the members, this is our need, and if you have much, give much. And if you have little, give little. There is to be a proportion, not so that a consistory might say, well, we think that this individual or this family has so much, well, then they have to give so much. It would be to say, this is the need, give willingly of what you have for this end and for this goal, so that those who do not have much do not need to give much, and those who have more are able and know their calling to give more. But this applies also to spiritual things too. The Church of Jesus Christ as a spiritual organism requires the members to give to each other spiritually. Help, comfort, consolation. It's not of such a character this giving is that it can be said, well, it's so-and-so's turn to give comfort. So-and-so's turn to give encouragement here in the situation. One's turn came up. It simply cannot work that way. But at the same time, it has to be understood when need arises, there is in that need, there is through that need God's call. just as clearly as it is here in Exodus chapter 35. Give. Give willingly. Give cheerfully. Give joyfully for the need of that other member so as to build up the church of Jesus Christ. Not to say grudgingly, unwillingly, I suppose I need to go and help this person. But to say it's my privilege to seek the good of Zion, the well-being of the church. Because in this way, too, God is pleased to dwell among his people. Their kindness, their mercies, the goodness, the encouragement that they give to one another as God calls them, and yet to give willingly and freely and even joyfully, there is the blessed increase of the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, because this commandment is given exactly as it was, to give freely, to give willingly, obedience to this call is remarkable because it has exactly that character. We follow the sequence and the summary that is given of the action of the people in response to this call in verse 20. All the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. They went away. But as they went away, they carried in their hearts the commandment of God. And we see that commandment addressed to their heart, addressed to their will, as they obeyed that commandment. Here they came. They came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation and for all his service and for the holy garments. There is a beautiful word there. They, as their heart stirred him up, as everyone whom his spirit made willing, they brought the Lord's offering. They looked at what they had, and they saw it out of their willing heart, out of their spirit stirred up, and they said, this is the Lord's offering. They didn't say, this is mine. It's going to remain mine. It's going to stay mine. I'm not going to give it. They didn't say, I'm only going to give this little bit because I might see myself parting with it. It's not going to hurt me that much. No, it was the Lord's offering. And therefore, they brought it to the Lord. We see that laid out according to the work in the following verses. Verse 21 is a summary. Verses 22 and 28 go into the details. Both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, verse 22, brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets. Verse 23, every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. Every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. The rulers, verse 27, brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate, spice and oil, anointing oil. Verse 29 is the summary. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. Every part that was required of the tabernacle, every part that was required for the service of the Lord in the tabernacle was brought according to the need, according to the end. It was brought by the children of Israel as a willing people. And even there were the women who went to the work of gathering up hair, the material good to spin it, in order to bring the cloths for the service of the tabernacle. We saw over and over again special emphasis laid on the willingness. According to the commandment of the Lord, this is to be done. So it was done. As out of a willing heart, so it came to Moses, it came to the workers out of and by and through a willing heart. It was not simply the direction of the hand. It was not simply the direction of the hand according to the mind to think shallowly, to think superficially, well, here's a commandment of God, I suppose we ought to do it, out of an external, controlling sense of obligation and force, so that a man might be thought to be obedient, as his hand might stretch out and lay hold on what he had in his tent and in his tabernacle, some gold, some silver, some wood, to take it up into his hand and to bring it before the work and to lay it down and say, here is what is necessary for the work. But behind that hand, underneath the mind, was the heart and spirit of all those who offered, so that they offered willingly, so that they offered from their hearts. Now, why? Why was it so crucial to have a willing heart to give this material? That has to be seen and understood only properly only when we look at the end. What is the end? Why these offerings? Why these gifts? Why this material? We have to follow the work and the labor intended, the work and the labor wrought upon this material. What came out of it? Now, I want to think of these workers, Aholiab, Bezalel, and the rest of those wise-hearted men and women of Israel taking up this work, what they did with their minds, with their hands and fingers as they wrought, they carried out the instruction of the Lord so that this material was wonderfully transformed and changed into God's dwelling place. So it's wrought into and transformed into anointing oil, a sweet-smelling incense, a perfume, an altar of burnt offering, an altar of incense, a golden candlestick, the Ark of the Covenant, the table of showbread, all according to the Word of God as God's dwelling place. And for the sake of that tabernacle, for the sake of that tent, entire economy of sacrifices carried out upon those altars so that Israel might be reconciled to God to enjoy God's peace, God's friendship, and God's fellowship among them. Now, as for Israel to say, with all of their gifts out of their hearts, we desire to have our God dwelling among us. Our delight is in His covenant. Our delight is in His presence, His salvation, His works and wonders for us. We desire to have Him with us, to protect us, to keep us, to provide us with everything that we need, and so they might prove that and demonstrate it by their gifts. The same thing must come to us. What do we think? What do we think of God's house? Do we esteem it? Do we treasure it? Do we delight in it? Not just as a building, but this is the place where we gather together to worship the living God. This is where we gather together to hear God's word for us, and our love for His word, our love for one another as His people, is to reflect itself in our care and regard for the building set apart for the purpose of the worship of His name. But then we look at that desire and that delight in the church, so we are able to give willingly for the sake and the cause of our church. As we delight, so we give. And as the Lord commands us, be willing in our giving, so we are to give willingly. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean somehow that as we might delight to give, as we might choose and determine to give of what we have for the cause of God, and as the Word of God might come to us, give willingly, must we say that somehow, some way, we violate God's sovereignty? That somehow, some way, because we will to give, we think, we contemplate, we discern, and out of desire and out of our choosing, we give to God, do we deny God's sovereignty? Or should we rather say that we may honor God's sovereignty and God's will, let us not be willing. Let us be grudging. Let us be stingy. Let us hold on to everything we have, giving ever so little, lest we should magnify free will. It is an amazing thing that an Arminian and a Roman Catholic, to prove the freedom of the will lay hold on this passage and say, look, God commanded for them to give willingly, they gave willingly, and that means that man's will is free. We have to say, not at all. Not at all. If man's will were free, then God would have no right to command. He would have no place to declare. Because any declaration, any command would impinge, would exclude and shut out man's will. But such is not the case. Instead, here is the proof, here is the demonstration of God's salvation. How wonderful it is, how thorough it is, and how complete it is. God does not save us as puppets. He does not save us as stocks and blocks, simply picking us up and moving us into his kingdom. He saves us as his creatures of mind, of heart, of will, and soul. So it is part of his salvation. He says to you and me, come to me. Follow me obediently, willingly, and his grace works to make us willing, to make us to choose, to make us to desire God, and freely, willingly, to give of our best to the cause of God and to his kingdom. Such is the wonder, such is the power of his grace. Now, that power of God's grace shows itself in the generosity of the people in how much they gave. Scripture means to impress us with the generosity of the people. We have their gifts mentioned, the way of these gifts given to us in chapter 36 in verses 3 through 5. The first step we have given to us in verse 3, as Bezalel and Aholiab were called, and every wise-hearted man among them, we read in verse 3 of chapter 36, they received of Moses all the offering, was gathered up together for some time. And when it appeared that there was sufficient, then came forth Bezalel and Aholiab to receive it. Received it which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. The second step is mentioned in the following words, and they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. Every morning, when they came to the work, there was more given to them of silver, of gold, of blue, of scarlet, of oil, of wood, all for the tabernacle and the temple. Every morning. This continued for some time. We have the third step. All the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. They spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. As the workmen wrought, they saw that they were more and more completing the work that was given them to do, and there was still vast amounts of material for them to put to use. And they could tell by looking and seeing that there was far more than enough that they needed. And that was true in every single way. I think of this work as being divided up according to the wisdom of Aholiab and Bezalel into a number of departments. A number of men, a number of women were assigned to each department. They were given specific work to do. And it was not the case that several of these departments understood that they had too much. That was true of every single one. Every one of them had a tremendous surplus. So that finally, they had to come to Moses and report that they had too much. The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work. So that finally, the fourth step, Moses gave commandment. They caused to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. They kept coming with more and more and more. They were of a heart to give more and more and more until the commandment finally came, had to come, to stop bringing any more. What they brought came to be too much. What generosity. And here is the significance of exactly a willing heart. The significance of a willing heart. No giving in a grudging way. No giving in a way that says always, well, how much? How much? This much? No, a little bit more. This much? No, a little bit more. This much? No, a little bit more. Until finally, yes, that's enough. You've given enough. You can go. Not at all. But simply too much. Now we think of this connection with the church. That a simple need would be stated. This is what we need for this project, or this is maybe even what we need for a new building. And yes, there would be collections taken. But collections that would keep coming and coming and coming, checks that would keep coming, until finally the deacon would have to say, we have far, far more than enough. And then being able to use that for a church. Or to say, there is a person in need, that word gets out of this person in need. And there are people who come to support, to encourage, to strengthen, to speak kind, comfortable words, to encourage in prayer. So many to go far and beyond what is necessary so that there is building up. There is the strength of the church of Jesus Christ. You and I must say, that is an amazing thing. That is a wonderful thing. And people hearing that of this church would have to say, that must be an amazing church that operates that way. To have such a willing, generous people, that has to be said of them, that's enough. There's too much in every respect. The question is, then, how to be like that? How to be like that? How should we become that generous of a people? How would our giving indicate so much willingness, so much devotion, so much love for the cause of God? How can that be? Exodus 36 does not tell us much about that. except for this one thing. This is for God's dwelling among his people in grace. This is for God's dwelling among his people in mercy, as a reconciling, gracious God. And that leads us to the heart of this generosity. What is it? It's something very simple. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is that simple. The gospel. It is the gospel alone that makes us willing. It is the gospel alone that makes us generous. A system of merit, a system of good works, makes people stingy, makes them not generous. But the gospel brings with it blessed freedom, freedom of salvation from sin, freedom of deliverance from the bondage of iniquity and transgression, bondage from hell. We are delivered from eternal destruction. So we are redeemed to be God's people, to be blessed by him, to know him as our God and our Savior, our Father in heaven, by his grace alone. And that truth, when we understand it, when it lives among us through faith, as we know we sin against him every day, and as every day we know our deliverance from our sins by the blood of the Son, it makes us, it fills us with love for God, love of his gospel, love of his truth, and in our delight in it, such is the fountain, such is the spring of our generosity. And may that word of God live among us, may it live in us, to make us so willing in the day of his power. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank thee for thy word and the word of our salvation. We thank thee for the riches of thy grace to us in the blood and the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of his precious righteousness to be all our salvation and all our deliverance from sin. And we pray, work in our hearts by thy word and by thy spirit to make us willing, to make us delightful in thee, our God, to desire thee, to love thee, to serve thee with all that we are and all that we have. So strengthen us by thy grace and thy Holy Spirit, that we may seek thy goodness, that we may seek the good of one another and the cause of thy kingdom, as thou dost give us so many opportunities. In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen.